In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He sent him not in wrath and power, but grace and peace to bring him, and kindness as a king might send the Son himself. Today we celebrate the feast of Christ the King, often referred to as Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the liturgical year. We celebrate our feasts and ceremonies not according to the lunar year, but according to our church liturgical year. And next Sunday begins a whole new season, year, with the season of Lent, the preparatory season of Advent. And it's often said that the Anglican tradition is not a tradition of instant gratification. We have, with our feast days and fast days, our days of celebration, our days of penitence, our days of singing, our days of silence, the seasons of the Christian year hold us accountable to practice different ways throughout the year. And the promise is that in time, in the long haul of time, the practice of these ancient seasons and days and feasts and fasts will allow our spirits to form, the roots of our spiritual life to grow deep and solid. It is a beautiful thing. Even when we think we are going through the motions themselves are holy, and growth is happening when we don't even know it. I often say it's like a minute hand of a clock. You can't see it move. When a little boy used to stare at it and see if I could see it move. But when I look away and look back, it moves. And that is spiritual growth. And in large part, it is because of the Christian year. And next Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, I wish to offer in the sermon more explanation and to honor the meaning of the Christian year. So please come next Sunday. The beginning of the year will be adorned in purple. We'll have our Advent wreath and a beautiful day. But today is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of this liturgical year. In a sense, the grand finale of the year. We have to admit, though, the feast of Christ the King is not ancient. It's not even rooted in Anglicanism. It dates only back to 1925 when Pope Pius XI established this feast, hoping to renew in the minds of the faithful the ancient image of Christ as divine King. And as beautiful as his theology is, as we look back, it wasn't only theological, but even somewhat political. What was happening in 1925? Totalitarian governments were beginning to arise. Mussolini had been in power for 2 years. There was a party in Germany, the Nazi party, seemingly gaining strength, and supported at least in part by devoted and pious Christians who, in their naivete, did not know where it was leading. Despots rising around the world. And it was the church that wanted to put up a counter image of kingship, of ruler. Because what happened is the world was taking charge of the narrative. They were redefining king and lord as pomp and power and might. And the church didn't want that. Because in and of itself, these are beautiful words we don't need to relinquish. But when we speak of Christ the King, we're speaking of Christ as in our gospel lesson today, as in this first image of the Station of the Cross. The King of peace, the King of love, my shepherd is, and all vulnerability standing before Pilate. I'm reminding of St. Paul's word in the epistle that power is perfected in weakness. Jesus taught his disciples, I came to serve, not to be served. And that was a redefining of what King and Lord and Master means. So we're not to relinquish these beautiful things. We fought a revolution to loosen the grip of a king. But this is a different kingship that we need to love and honor, the King of Peace. So this day of all the days of the year is the day when the church should pray for peace. And to understand today's feast, I offer, I think, my favorite image of the church. I've used it before. I use it again. And the image is this, of the two great streams flowing into the river of Christendom.
On the one hand, we have the great Catholic stream, with an emphasis on the sacrament, the transcendence of God, a stream that teaches us that we worship a God before whom even the angels veil their faces. And Gothic cathedrals are built high so that we physically have to look up and be reminded of that transcendence, that awe of God. The use of incense, the use of the composing of some of the beautiful music ever written, as the Te Deum that we'll be singing this morning, that emphasizes God before whom even the angels veil their faces. But then we also have the Protestant stream flowing into the river of Christendom, with an emphasis on the Word, that the Jesus who is a sibling, that knows us by name and by need. Jesus who has felt every tear that's ever come down our cheeks. Jesus who rose from the dead, whose spirit we can say lives in us. Thus we can say with all authenticity, I have a personal relationship with the living Jesus Christ. And ideally, not always in practice, but ideally, the Anglican tradition is this bridge tradition that embraces both great streams. And the beauty of the Christian year is that some of the feast days iterate the Protestant stream, others iterate the Catholic stream. But what a balance in the year we have, even when we don't know consciously that we're receiving such balance. Today of Christ the King is probably more emphasis on that Catholic stream, a God before whom even the angels veil their faces. So how does the story today, the feast today, the music today, the liturgy today bring us to us? I think it's important as we contemplate the image of Christ the King that we etch that image on our hearts. I love this phrase, that we learn to keep company with the image of Jesus before Pilate. The way that he spent power, the way that he embodied might through service and love. Because each of us, brothers and sisters, we have power. When we walk into a store, we think of the power of our words to families and friends and even enemies. We yield power. And what image of power do we keep company with? As Christians, we are to keep company with the image of Jesus before Pilate. And all the vulnerability, the King of Peace and the King of Love. And as we keep company with that image, the promise is that it will flavor the words we speak, the way we spend our money, the way we go about our living and our lives. That we will be more and more lovers of Jesus Christ. And we will not only speak of it, we will live the joy of the Christian life. The King of Love, my shepherd is.